Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
Music. And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
I do like to play Collected Company a lot, so you're probably getting confused there. What's up, guys? I'm here to talk about Magic the Gathering with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last week of our lives has been absolutely ridiculous. The fact we're actually back in the same room together in Los Angeles recording an episode, and you guys are probably asking yourselves, why are we hearing this at the end of the week relative to the beginning of the week? And the reason is because Alex and I collectively have been in, like, I don't know, like 13 states and watched like 25 movies in the last 7 days.
So including layovers, I have been in Las Vegas, Atlanta,
Georgia,
Charlotte. Yeah, sorry, Georgia. Charlotte. North Carolina?
Yes.
New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Chicago, Cleveland, and
Ohio.
California. Ohio. My state. I'm from Ohio. And California. And you have been in?
I've been in Indiana. I've been in Michigan. I've been in Illinois. I've been in California. I've been in Pennsylvania. I've been in Arizona. I've been in... I feel like I'm forgetting a full trip, but it's been a long week is what it's been, and we were at the GP. Oh, Nevada. Yeah, that's another one.
I said Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I am really bad with getting, I say the state of Los Angeles relatively often, and I say the country of California regularly often.
You managed, despite three corrections, to say states, not city names instead of state names. Anyway.
You did it too. You said.
It's been a long week, and the point is, Alex and I have actually, there's a lot of magic things that have happened in the course of that week. A lot. And today we have a lot of things to talk about here on the Masters of Modern podcast.
We got a preview card. We previewed it earlier on Anchor,
yeah.
Which is, you do a show called 10 Minutes of Magic. So if you guys go to Ben Bateman's Anchor channel right now, you can find our preview card.
Yeah, we do like a first initial breakdown where we previewed it right the first time. And when he says the Anchor channel, what that means is you just download the app. It's a free app called Anchor.fm. It's short form audio content, like 2 to 5 minutes at a time, about 10 minutes a station per day. And I'm the featured magic station. It's cool. So I have different content I do every single day. Mondays, it's like news and updates plus community brew decks. Tuesdays, I run a trivia league that there's new callers calling in all the time. Wednesdays, I talk about one card specifically, like one of the sweetest cards ever each Wednesday. Thursday, I do like a mental magic thing where people can call in. We go back and forth and play games of magic over the app. So we just decided, because Alex like guests on there pretty often, we would use that to break the card down. We'd post it otherwise, and that's where it is. So you can hear us do that right now if you go to our Twitter, which is at the MMcast. There's a link to it.
And you know, we're also going to talk about it today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the card a little bit today also.
But if you want to like listen to that while we briefly go over all of the other things that you need to go follow, if you want to be a true Masters of Modern fan, you should go follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at Kess Wiley.
And I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
We are at the MMcast on Twitter, as we said before. We also have an Instagram, which is at the MMcast. We have a Facebook. Right now, it's a Facebook page. And we've been debating creating more of a group, because pages are a little bit better for us to kind of give a forward presenting format. But I really want to more create a community. And we'd love to hear your guys' idea on doing more of a Masters of Modern Facebook group that anyone can join and would be a good place to foster discussions versus what it is right now.
Yeah, the reason that we noticed this is because I do a show called Action Movie Anatomy, which is an action movie podcast, and a couple of fans on that show created a fan page for our show, and now there's like a few hundred people in there, and the interaction's crazy. Somebody posts the thing, and I get notifications all day long, and I think it's because it's a group rather than a page, and it's just more fun when you're part of something to get notifications all the time that there's a new conversation, there's a new thread. When somebody says, what's the tech against Grixis Death Shadow? And you see a post in your notifications, and it's like, Alex Kessler has posted... Because, you know, tweets get lost, and pages, when you have to go seek them out, there's too much content. We get inundated with content. If you're not reminded to look at something, you just don't look at it. So I think we're talking about maybe just rebranding it into a group, because it might just be better.
Yep. I mean, the page will still exist, and that's where we'll be able to, like, advertise from, I guess, because that's what pages are really for, which is the other annoying thing.
Yeah,
so, like,
we'd probably in the end kill one of them because I don't think we want two of those floating
around.
Yeah,
that's true.
But
and then beyond that, make sure to check out the Command Zone. They are our sister podcast. They also had a sweet spoiler card yesterday. It was this blue sphinx that gives all other sphinxes Enter the Battlefield.
Oh, yeah, Fact or Fiction.
Fact or Fiction, which is like
sphinxes cost less,
super
right?
spicy. Yeah, and sphinxes cost two less.
That card's awesome.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Sick.
So, and yeah, so that's the collective.company of all of our things we need to tell you to go follow.
Yeah. The
last
thing
our Patreon.
Is we have a Patreon.
Yeah, I forgot that one. Damn.
Yeah.
So go check out the Patreon. That is how we do stuff. You know, we are running into 150 episodes of the show, and the equipment that we've been using is definitely in need of some upgrades and to kind of keep doing this and to do maybe more interesting things. So, like, you know, we're both on the road so often, so we want to maybe invest in some more portable mics that allow us to record in other parts of the country. And to do that, we'll need your guys' help. So please check out the Patreon. There's cool stuff there. And we really appreciate
it. Buck or $2 a month, you know, less than a cup of coffee a month. It really helps anything. So, yeah. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Let's get into the episode. Here's the itinerary for the day. We have news and updates with GP recap because we were both at the Grand Prix. We have a spoiler card to discuss. I played my first games of Commander. I think that deserves its own segment on the show.
Fair, sure.
And I liked it, and I've been brewing.
So weird for me to hear you say that.
Yeah, I've been brewing in Commander, guys.
It is. You know, we say Modern is the most friendly brew format, and it is for sure from a 60-card format perspective. But Commander is, like, actually the best place to brew stuff because you can do anything.
Yeah, I'm, like, obsessed with a couple different specific ideas, but the card I've been brewing with the most is Sig River Cutthroat. I'm trying to make a Sig River Cutthroat deck that is going to satisfy all of my needs. And yesterday on Anchor, that was my one card Wednesday, was Sig.
Have you talked to Craig about Infect decks?
No, but they feel cheesy. Though if I could, like, make a non-Infect creature have Infect,
there's an equipment. It's really good.
Yeah, no, I know that card's good.
It's, like, insane. Every Commander deck should have it, and they don't because it's kind of dirt, but that's good.
You grafted Exoskeleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But first, I think we should do the preview card. I think that's what everyone is here for.
Yeah.
I think. Otherwise, they're just going to go online and stop listening to us, and that's kind of what I promised after we did all that. So
they probably already did, but
our preview card is a aftermath card,
yeah,
which means that the first half you can cast from your hand, the second half you cast from your graveyard. I would say that Fatal Push is a better card than the card this in reference to previous spoiler cards, but I want to say this is our second best preview card, excluding Modern Masters 3's Path to Exile and Inquisition of Kozilek.
That's so sick that we got the pair of us.
But like I think of the like new cards, I think because this is better than Aven Mind Censor. I would say this is better than Aven Mind Censor. That's like bold words.
This card is just a better card, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely sweeter than all of those things. And let me break it down for you. It's a one black.
Return target
sorcery.
Creature card with converted mana cost, two or less, from your graveyard to the battlefield. It is a take on cards like Unearth. And I talk about this so...
Named Claim.
I talk about this all the time. I mean, literally all the time. But I reference that anything that references Resurrection based on converted mana cost is a rare effect. They've done more and more and more of these because I think they realize that it's a fun thing for people.
It's a fairer way to do... Because, like, Reanimator is an important part of the game. But just straight up reanimate target creature, costed in any way that's efficient, is too powerful.
Right.
Because just then it just becomes bring Grizzlebrand into play. Or,
yep.
And but when you add that converted mana cost rider, A, it's a white effect generally, so it's rare that it's in black now. But B, it allows this card to be like, at best it can bring back, I guess, Hunted Horror is the biggest thing it can bring. Death Shadow might be when you're at
the
one
biggest?
Life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole list of sweet cards. I mean, the one that obviously I'm talking about a lot is Mirror's Superior because I just love that card, and this is just another card that makes it even better. All the reasons that I was playing Profane Command and Superior Burning Cocoa for so long, I don't want to say this isn't 100% better for what I'm doing, but it's pretty close. I guess the big difference is that when you play Profane Command on two, getting back a Superior and giving two creatures fear is really good. And this isn't going to do that. But this is not far, because for three mana, you'll get a probably similarly powerful effect.
But for one mana, you get to do what Profane Command can only do at four mana.
Yes, which is way better.
Yeah.
That's modern. That's actually modern friendly, where Command is like a pet card of mine as a one of. So,
So that's Claim. And then the other half, which is Fame.
Why
claim
is it
to
that?
Fame.
Why is it called Fame?
claim to fame?
Because it like, makes it powerful and spicy.
Well, no. So to why is the effect called fame?
Claim makes sense, but fame, like he's famous because he's plus two plus one haste.
Well, we'll get into the flavor of the card, okay. But let's tell what people what it does. It's one red, one colorless. You can cast it from your graveyard because it has aftermath. Target creature gets plus two plus zero and gains haste until end of turn. Because you're loud and proud, you're just out there. It's because all of these are puns. Every double card ever is a blank from blank or blank to blank. All the aftermath cards are blank to blank. So to fame, cut two ribbons. Where the regular double sided cards are and. So fire and ice.
Yes. Right.
So
I think those are probably actually my two favorites, cut to ribbons and claim to fame. Of all of them. Right? Am I forgetting one that's really good? I think those are the two sweetest.
Right now, I mean, we have an entire spoiler coming out. I really like the blue counterspell that also taps lands. That tap land effect is being played in Dredge now, and it's sick.
Yeah.
As like a spicy one of. And then I also really like, I don't know where I'm going to play it, but the wheel effect in your graveyard.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And then there's the other one that's good that people play in Standard now is Never to Return. That card's good.
Sure. And I also love the silence, the blue bounce spell silence one. It is...
I think you're alone on that one. Nobody else likes that card.
Yeah, because I'm the only person to ever cast the silence half on Ancestral Visions when two were coming off the suspend trigger and coming out and play next turn.
So now you're telling me you're never going to let it go.
I'm going to always keep it in my pile of white-blue sideboard cards. If Grixis control is a big part of the metagame, it's a completely spicy one of sideboard card.
Fair. Totally fair.
All right, so this card. It's insane. I mean, like... easy places to throw it into. All of the Jund Death and Grixis Death Shadow decks can take advantage of it. More Jund,
definitely.
Because the problem with Grixis is it plays a lot of Tassigar-like cards, the Delve creatures.
Yes.
And this is not good with those.
Nope.
But what it's great with is Tarmogoyf. It's great with Death Shadow itself.
It's very good it's very good with Snapcaster Mage.
It's very good with Snapcaster Mage. So you get all of those really good effects with it. So between those decks, I can see it seeing play. I think Classic Jund loves this card.
Yeah.
Getting Bob's back, getting Ooze's back, getting Tarmogoyf's back is very good. Late game, if you top deck this, you can always just reanimate and pump Tarmogoyf, giving it haste swing for, 11.
Yeah, it's interesting. I used to play...
10 is the highest it can go, actually.
There was a Legacy deck that I played that I made up like a long time ago.
Tarmogoyf can never be a 9-10. It's an 8-9 is the highest.
Is that true? Mm-hmm. 8-9 is the biggest?
I think so.
That was a question on 10 Minutes of Magic.
Yeah. So then 10-9 is the... this can make Tarmogoyf into a 10 damage spell with haste off the top.
So this deck I used to play in Legacy was centered around Delvers, Baleful Strixes, and one other good... and Snapcasters, that's what it was. And the idea was, obviously, Unearth was a big part of the deck. That's why I bring it up. And unearthing a Snapcaster Mage in a deck like this is just so sick. So... because obviously, Unearth, Snapcaster, target Unearth something else is just great.
Yep.
And we're getting closer and closer and closer to that deck just being a reality in Modern, because this is good enough to be that.
Yeah, easy.
The only thing that's missing is Baleful Strix, but that's going to get reprinted into Modern at some point.
There's other cards you can play for value that aren't Baleful Strix.
Yeah, I used to suit it up with a Pike or something like that. But
what's sad is that Tarmogoyf, you need to play four colors to play this and Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
But something that we were talking about before, because you're playing your currently junk Superior Burning Cocoa list that you played at the GP, or at the side events at the GP, you could play just the claim half of this and put one Stomping Grounds in your deck to in the late game get some fames going on. So make the game plan, because the claim side of this, the return target creature to play with Convert Max to list, is totally a playable card by itself.
Yeah, it's very good.
And the fame side is really just kind of gravy on or icing or whatever on your cake. gravy on the cake.
Depending if you're being savory or sweet.
whatever mood you're in, claim the fame's got you covered. And you'll just be able to sometimes just give a thing haste. And something we haven't talked about is sometimes you'll just cast this as a pump spell. You don't need the haste half. You don't need the claim half. But it's by giving your creature two extra damage, wins you the game, or makes it so you can get through a creature and they can't block profitably is just totally great. It's so modal and has so many options. I'm really excited. I'm going to throw it directly in, because the other thing I've been working on is I'm playing with my Jund list. I have two Life and Loams in the deck, and I'm playing some of the cycle lands. So this sides in really cleanly into that, because I want more stuff that you can just mill into.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking to do with it, and I think there's definitely some interesting play with this card.
This card also, the other card that this really feels like it plays extremely well with is in some sort of young Pyromancer deck, because
totally.
This is exactly the kind of effect you want. Multiple spells off one card and any kind of trigger. Like, that's something I should just mention. I'm constantly trying to build decks around anything that like lets me get two triggers off of one card. So things like Gutter Snipe or Young Pyromancer. I was obsessed with trying to build with Wolfie or Silverheart at one point. Obviously, you can't build Silverheart with this because it costs three. But the point is, anytime that you have a card that has powerfully two sides that have low CMC, you're in business. You just are. There's so many things that trigger
totally.
Off of. Like this in a Kiln Fiend deck, for instance. That seems good. Like the sure. right, the Kiln Fiend Young Pyromancer Claim to Fame deck already just in my mind is like brilliant. I'm just like in. I'm so in on that deck.
No, a deck with four Young Pyromancer, four Snapcaster Mage, and four of this, like already, and maybe some Jace Friends Prodigies for spiciness.
And,
like,
and Kiln Fiend.
Sure.
Kiln Fiending, like, think about this. Yeah, Kiln Fiend's in your graveyard. You resurrect it for one, and then you cast for two mana the other half of it, and Kiln Fiend gets plus five, plus O, and haste. So for three mana, you're swinging with a six damage Kiln Fiend when probably you've already gotten in like nine or ten with it early in the game. I mean, people already have tried that in like the
early... Kiln Fiend decks were a thing, and before Gitaxian Probe went away. Maybe this is what replaces Gitaxian Probe.
This
card's
pretty perfect in the Kiln Fiend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, all those sad Gitaxian Probe players.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, what you're talking about makes more sense. It's going to be played in actual decks, not something, just like weird brews. But
something I also always wanted to kind of mess with is Jund or Jund specifically Infect, and this is really good in Infect. Because you get your threat back and you give it pump. So you get like a Plague Stinger back, give it a haste. So you like from the graveyard can swing for three out of Infect. This just reminded me because of the Gitaxian Probe ban. So you lose the blue cards, which is definitely a huge loss. But you keep all the really good green and maybe you just do four color. Or we do what we said before where you kind of play the splash
right
on the side. But yeah, I think this deck is real spicy. I think this card's great. I'm super excited to cast it a lot.
Real good.
All right, so do we have anything else on the spoiler?
Oh my god, I want to play like this is what I want to play. I want to play Kiln Fiend, Young Pyromancer, Mardu, and I want to play this card and Rally the Peasants and one other maybe just like Lingering Souls. Except Souls is a little slow on curve, but it's still really good. Mm-hmm. Like that deck to me sounds like so much fun.
I want to play four Collective Brutality, four Lingering Souls, four of this card, and a bunch of two mana creatures.
Wait, this card goes perfectly. Perfectly into my ridiculous five-color Zoo Electromancer Baral deck. Perfectly.
Yeah.
This card is made for that deck.
Yep, it's really sweet.
Where you want to trigger two things to get... Oh my god, that's the rally deck. That's
Here's the point. I've been looking for another great flashback spell to hang out with Lingering Souls for a long time. Because there's a lot of strategies that I mess with regularly that are about somehow gaining value off of Grimflayer triggers. Like, this is so good with Grimflayer. Because, like, hitting someone with Grimflayer and then being like, oh, I mill it and have this now available to me.
Yeah.
Like, especially in Junk. Because Grimflayer is better than Junk. Like, Junk he's good in. But, there's so many different cool stuff with this.
Yeah.
And the fact that now we have Lingering Souls and this is two powerful cards that, like, will just get value with Collective Brutality into your graveyard is, like... I'm just like so pumped and excited.
Well, like, so the
premise... It definitely fits you into specific color combinations, which is the problem with gold cards, but that's the reason it's so powerful.
The premise behind the whole, I just talked about it very loosely, and I'll keep this brief because we should get into the rest of the episode. But the premise behind
playing...
Well, this
is the most important part, so we can talk about this.
Goblin Electromancer and Baral with Lingering Souls was that you're playing some Zoo deck where on turn two you resolve an Electromancer, and then turn three you Souls Flashback Souls, which just to me sounds awesome. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like good value. It's not crazy powerful,
right?
But it's good. And because Rally the Peasants has these two, you can do the same thing with it. Getting to the next turn, play Rally, Flashback Rally, seems very good. That just wins the game.
Sure.
So the fact that this card means...
So for people that don't know, Rally is the red-white flashback card that pumps everything plus two, plus zero.
Yeah, and you can, with a because he reduced the front half and the flashback half. What I was thinking was, if you played this strategy and you add this card to it, it means that for one mana... You resurrect an Electromancer or something like that, and then now the other now for one mana you've turboed into both halves of a flashback spell. So it's like even late game it ends up being like soft acceleration, just because it only costs one to get back a two mana thing that then can reduce two halves of a flashback spell. I'm in. I have that deck. Like, anyway, I was ranting, and the phone rang, so we paused. But the point is, that sounds sweet. This card's super sweet, and there's a lot of like fun, silly, powerful, and just like wonky things that can be done with it.
I haven't been more motivated to play five color Jund in a long time. Like, yeah. I don't want Deathrite Shaman back in the format, but I really would like to be able to play Snapcaster Mage, Thought Scour, this Lingering Souls, Grimflare, Tarmogoyf, all in the same deck.
Yeah, this makes me want to build a deck in Modern now with Sig River Cutthroat too, because the +2/+0 just means like it's gonna just add draw a card to the spell.
You're like really high on Sig.
Well,
Cutthroat.
I've always loved that card, okay. And I'm just back on building with it again.
So I guess that's a good curtail into our next subject matter, being Commander play.
Yeah.
Oh, the last thing I want to say on this card is I really love the art and the way they did it, because like most of the cards of this set are weird because it's like sideways on one card and the other one, but both cards actually have the guy standing up if you look at it sideways. So like, because Claim is him laying down.
And can you tell me why it's called Fame?
Oh, so the point of this set is that they're making zombies into these like super warriors for Nicol Bolas. So like his grand plan on Amaket is to create an entire plane that's designated to creating an indestructible super army for him.
Got it.
And so the Claim guy is a guy who is dead and has been going through the burial process. And then the Fame side is him now being resurrected and being super powerful, strong, and just kind of the big, exactly what he kind of wanted to be.
Yeah.
He's eternally a warrior of renowned prowess.
Sweet.
It's like the whole Valhalla, coins on the eyes, Vikings. I'm watching Vikings, by the way. I'm on like episode 4. It's kind of sick.
Huh.
They like brutally... Yeah, they're like messing up England right now. It's like it's good.
Sick.
It's not Game of Thrones. Like when it came out, you're like, oh, it's just a Game of Thrones knockoff. But there's none of the political intrigue really. There's like a little bit, but it's kind of BS. It's more just like, oh, this guy just like, I want to adventure and I'm a badass and I'm gonna go do adventuring. Don't get in my adventuring way.
There's an actor named Ben.
I think it's the
Robson. Okay. Ben Robson, who's in Animal Kingdom, who's great in Animal Kingdom, and I know he's from Vikings, and I love him.
Cool.
All right, enough talk.
All right, so, Commander Riggs. So the first thing I'm going to say on the blue-black, so you don't get frustrated ahead of time, is blue-black is very hard at dealing with anything.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been trying to build. I have 3 or 4 commanders that I've looked at that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Like, well, probably more than that. I've considered like a lot of different things. So for those of you wondering, just in case you haven't been following on Twitter or Anchor or something, I went to Vegas. I took a Highlander Roulette deck that I had that was
First, Ben classically and has not played a game of Commander in 10 years and classically derides it and has been unhappy that it exists as a format.
No, that's going a little far. That's going a little far.
No, he just doesn't. We had at least 3 different discussions, and I use that term in the nicest way possible, at Vegas beforehand about how Magic isn't made for multiplayer.
That's like telling somebody – that's like calling somebody who works at like Wiener Schnitzel a Nazi or something. Like,
Whoa. Goodwin's Law does not need to happen here. All right. Sorry. Continue.
I played Commander a long time ago. I'm 29. I think I played a bunch of Commander between like the ages of 17 and 19. I had like 4 or 5 decks. And this is back like during Shadowmoor. So it was fun. It was a newer thing. It was in the last few years that it really popped up. Wizards had not yet acknowledged that as a format they were printing product for. So it was new, and I enjoyed it, and I had fun, and it was casual. I got older, and I got more into competitive Magic, and it just seemed a little bit less fun. And we started playing Highlander Roulette so much that one-on-one Magic felt way more like what I was into, and building a 100-card deck that I could build with unfair cards that was one-on-one just was much more my style.
I'd like to point out that Ben's problem with Commander is his literal opposite issue with Modern.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, quite simply, and I talked to a lot of players in Vegas about this because Alex and I got into like a borderline actual fight about this. Like arguing that it was like borderline fighting.
We're not allowed to talk about what happens in Vegas except when we talk thoroughly about it in the next section.
And what I said to him is like, look, if you're playing a game with 4 people, you cannot come out with just really powerful cards and just try to aggressively beat 3 players at once, because if you do, they will all team up on you and you will lose because they have three hands and three board presences and three decks and access to three turns to every one of your turns, which Magic, no matter how powerful of a deck strategy you have, is not constructed to beat that. And everybody I talked to agreed with me on this. So the point is, to win Commander, you strategically have to play within the confines of politicking and multiplayer play, which classically to me is not appealing because I don't like not being in control of my own destiny.
But
I don't,
you like multiple other games that aren't Magic that are multiplayer and have political factions to
and
it.
The argument, what you can tell guys, we didn't actually resolve the point. The point is,
but I win because Ben's now making Commander decks. Yeah.
But those other games you're talking about are designed originally out of the box to only have multiplayer as the way you play them. They're primarily designed that way.
Magic is designed in many the function in many different categories.
But it's most
Magic is technically designed more than anything for limited, and the fact that we get constructed out of it is a gift.
But Magic's highest level of play that is promoted by the company that we cover on a podcast every single week is not multiplayer, which means it's prominent.
Limited.
Either one. They're both still one-on-one play.
Every single Pro Tour has limited. Now everyone has standard.
Does
so I will give you
any
that.
Pro Tours have multiplayer play?
They don't have modern either.
They used to. They did for a long time. Anyway, long story short, guys. That was my problem with it before. However, I took a deck that I had for Highlander Roulette, a Jeskai Metalcraft deck. I added 12 black sources, Brea, and like 9 other cards, like just really powerful cards, and I brought it, and I played the first game, and it was fun, and it was a little wonky, and then I played a second game with Jimmy and Josh from Command Zone, a couple other folks, and it was the most epic thing. It was like 2.5 hours long, and it was like the things that were sweet in my deck that like are only in my deck because it came for a one-on-one format ended up winning me the game.
But that's why people like Commander. They like we just are sitting down with friends playing 2 hours of Magic and doing crazy, ridiculous things. And like the board gets reset 5 times.
Yeah, there was
and
four
I, like,
Cyclonic
I'm going to play
played.
This Hailmaker and then you're going to like stop it in the last moment and we're going to try and all kill this one guy, but he's going to like play a ghost, ghostly prison last minute. So then we're like, oh, like, well, I can't attack you. Like it's all about, it's a Hailmaker format.
Haymaker, you mean?
Haymaker. I don't play sports.
Yeah, it was epic. It was really, really wild. It was like, it got down to it, and like Teferi's Puzzle Box was resetting my hand every turn, and I ended up casting Brea for like the 7th time, and then during combat, I went in with like a Blink Moth Nexus, which was one of my remaining artifacts. It was like literally my 3rd artifact. It got Maze of Ith during combat, but I had Galvanic Blast in hand, which I played because I now had Metalcraft. And Josh countered it. And I had a Shrapnel Blast in hand, and I sacrificed my Blink Moth Nexus to kill Josh. And the double burn spell mid-combat in one-on-one.
Well, at this point, the game had also gone to the point that Josh, because Josh was playing his Nekusar deck, but it's Cro-Mat is the actual commander, but Nekusar is the theme of the deck.
Got it.
Because he wants all 5 colors, because there's cards in other colors he wanted access to. And he likes doing that. He likes playing the commander inside the 99. So the thing, so he has like a Gitrog 5-color deck that Gitrog is the commander, but it's inside the deck. At this point in the game, every single way that Josh has to kill a player in his deck is exiled or in his graveyard.
So he's just trying to kill me, attacking me with Cro-Mat.
Yeah, Cro-Mat is the only thing in his deck available to kill you.
It was pretty epic. So anyway, without just staying on commander for too long, the point was I had a lot of fun. I will admit. It's a lot of fun. I think what was fun about it for me was that the deck I had played with was a deck built for a different style of play. So it was surprising to people to see a lot of the cards I had in the deck. And I've worked on that deck a lot, so it has a lot of really cool interactions.
And I also want to give a big shout-out to at Mr. Dr. Magnet, who was actually part of your first Commander game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who the other guy is because he didn't know. He was really nice as well,
right.
and he had a really cool he was the one that won. He sat down with Brea, but then you had Brea, so he switched into a green black and the two partner, the green black one with counters and the blue white one with counters deck. But at Mr. Dr. Magnet was a listener, and he was the one that kind of convinced us to sit down and commander that game and got to play with your first commander game. And he had a really sweet Mistform Elemental.
It's from Ultimus, I believe.
A tribal deck that like played a rogue spell that let him like do crazy things. His deck was really sweet too. So big shout out to him. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing with Ben for his first time playing Commander.
Epic.
He got salty, even though, like, Ben got really weirdly salty at the end of the game because he lost in second place, even though I was the one that was picked on the entire game and was killed first.
What happened was Alex, like, politicked me out of the game, but we'll get off that. So
as I was murdered as, yeah, sure.
Alex was the salty
one. I tried politicking you out of the game, and then it backfired on me, and he was like, well, since you're politicking, I'm just going to kill you now.
You deserved it. I'm trying to build with like a bunch of different things. Anax and Siamede is one that seems like really weird and interesting to me. It seems probably not powerful enough, but I.
So to give you some breakdown, so you have like an idea, in order, the most powerful color, the least powerful color is probably green is most powerful, then blue, then black, then red and white are kind of tied. Red is a better main color, but white is a better supplemental color.
So what you're telling me is that building Boros is really hard.
Yeah, I have a board. I have Abyssin built, and she's fun. There's like it's like half board wipes, and the idea is trying to go infinite with Boros Reckoners and like doing damage to my own creatures and redirecting it and making them indestructible and Basil's Collar
stuffy
and stuff
doll,
like that.
All that stuff.
Stuffy doll, and it does okay. It's definitely like fun because it's wacky and it's different. And I made like a control deck in red white that wasn't really possible, but red white is probably the best one. Is Strongarm? I think he's the best red white commander.
He's the new guy.
The two? No, not. His name is not Strongarm.
Brian Stark.
Yeah. He's one of the best ones. And then the other one is the original Gisela.
Yeah.
Which just doubles damage. The problem with her is she has the commander problem of being expensive, but everyone realizes, oh, crap, I have to kill you before that gets cast because she's really, really powerful. So people are like, oh, you're dead first. And you're red-white, so you're
I'm fascinated by the idea of building some sort of, like, maybe it's Anax and Siamede or somebody else, but, like, some sort of aggro deck that, like, makes my creature into, like, a 22-22 and then like somehow doubles its power and then like sacks it to like fling and like forks it to like two shot like
that's a strong arm the guy who throws people, he's the general you probably want that because you can make one of your other guys really big and throw them like he is fling on a cart, so like that you're wanting to make the fling deck, and so he is that for you, so he's definitely the general I would recommend for that.
Yeah, so anyway.
He's really good. Like, he's one of the better red-white commanders.
Commander's fun. I don't know how much time I'll have for Commander, as it's just, like, another thing.
Well, the nice thing is, like, there's a bunch of times where people are like, oh, we're hanging out and we're playing Commander that now you get to get invited to.
Yeah.
Where, like, before it'd be like, well, Ben doesn't hang out because he doesn't play Commander, so
yeah,
now you get to come.
Yep. So, there you go, guys.
Maybe Jimmy and Josh will let you jump on the Command Zone and, like, and sling some spells.
Hey, Jimmy and Josh, if you're listening to the show, you claim you still listen to our show, but if you do, I want to come
on. They still listen.
Really?
I know they listen because they catch our like big mistakes and they yell at me.
Yeah,
which is great. I like super appreciate it because if we didn't have their eyes on this, it wouldn't be as good. They definitely help contribute.
If you'll ever have me, Jimmy and Josh, I would love to come and talk about Commander because now I'm thinking.
I mean, what you have to do is now look at all the commanders they've done and make sure the first commander you brew is not a deck that had a party.
I've texted Alex like 7 ideas and decks in the last week now. Like, I've just been thinking about it nonstop.
It's funny because he bounces between cards that like are unplayable in Commander and like the absolute most broken. Like, he's like, I'm going to build Tassigar. I'm like, well,
yeah,
he's really good.
Tassigar's really powerful.
All right. So GP Vegas, last half. All right. So let's break it down. So you fly in from maybe the worst travel experience of your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I curtailed with my worst travel, not my worst because I've had maybe worse ones, but a similarly terrible travel experience on the back end.
In a word, guys, I flew in on a connecting to Chicago trying to get to Grand Rapids. My flight was delayed 4 hours on the tarmac. Then they canceled the flight. There was no way for me to get from Chicago to Grand Rapids, so I had to Uber at 1 a.m., deal with the time change, get to my hotel at 5:50 a.m. for a 10 o'clock
You Ubered
meeting.
Across time zones, which I think is ridiculous.
3-hour Uber. The guy was willing to take me. And then I got to my hotel, and they told me that of all of the rooms that had been booked, the only one that had been double booked and was unavailable was mine. And it was 5:50 in the morning. They paid for me to go to another hotel. My meeting was, mind you, in 4.5 hours. I got to the second hotel, walked to the counter at 6:20, and the woman was like, checking out, sir? And I'm like, no, I'm going to go sleep for 2 hours and then leave. It's paid for by these idiots at this other hotel. And it was a long, long trip.
I'm laughing at Ben's pain, partly because this is Ben's first year going through this like this travel schedule that I have now done 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row. And this is a story that happens probably to everyone doing that once a year. But yeah, it's rough. I'll the sandwich our GP Vegas with two bad experiences. I'll tell my story.
If there's any confusion, by the way, guys, Alex runs a sweet toy company, and I'm helping him with his toy company, and that's what's going on.
Yeah,
we haven't really talked about it on here, but yeah, that's what's
going on. We did a whole episode on
it. No, I mean me helping you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. By the way, everyone, Super Party Battle, freshman year, comes out this September on thinkgeek.com.
Yeah.
You should look out for it. We're going to do a spoiler season in mid-July, mid-August. We're going to pass out cards to people. It's like a party game version of Magic multiplayer.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll probably do it like a video episode. It'll be sweet.
Oh, I forgot to point out, just by the way, in that epic game of Commander.
Yeah.
There's a very famous football player named Cassius Marsh who plays for the Seahawks.
Oh yeah.
Who is now like in? He was got a feature match at GP Vegas. He's awesome.
He was on Game Nights with the Command Zone.
Yeah, and he loves Magic, and he like is a big fan of Commander, and he like was watching the entire game, and there's even like a video of him being like saying something like, "No, I didn't leave, man. I stuck around for this." And like that was like bad impression, but like he's like,
well, I mean, the game where you were playing, I played two games with him and Trick Jarrett.
Yeah,
and he was my, because we were playing Star.
Yeah,
where like it's the you and the person next to you are trying to kill the people across from you. And that, by the way, format's awesome. I had like only played it once before, and this is the first time I played it where people that knew what they were doing. And like when you kill a player, when one player dies, the dynamic changes in a very interesting way.
Interesting.
We'll do an episode on that later. Or maybe not, because it has nothing to do with Modern. But yeah, it was sick.
So it was cool. It was cool to get to hang out with somebody high profile who plays Magic. Yeah. Who's like outside of the Magic world. Anyway, we're in Vegas. We get to Vegas. We both get in Thursday, and you know, hilarity ensues.
Yeah, so we made a decision ahead of time. We like bounced back and forth, partly because we both had to leave on Sunday, but not to play in the Modern GP. Part of the reason is that we're going to get to go to more Modern GPs in general, especially because we're traveling so much. We now have like all of the miles, and now that, you know, my fiance is now moving back to LA, I'll have more weekends available. So something we're going to try doing moving forward is to go to more Modern GPs, especially because they're becoming more convention-like anyways. And so we decided that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of GP Vegases where we're going to get to go hang out with people and do cool, fun stuff here and interact with it more like a convention. So we ended up doing that instead of playing in the GP, especially because we both had to leave early on Sunday.
Yeah, I think also the fact that this show has done well and is getting bigger and we're expanding it. And now Magic, because of Anchor and this show, is becoming more and more a part of my job, my actual income stream. It's important to go to these things. It's like it's no longer something that we want to do. That's like we just do when we can. It's also like, it's very important to be around it and aware of it and meeting people and there and getting the reps. And so I think we're going to be trying. I think we're almost definitely going to HasCon. And there's probably any other doable GPs than Modern this year. I think you'll probably see us there. So look out for us.
Yeah, at least one of us. That's, I think our mission is to try and get one of us to every North America
Modern GP.
Modern GP.
Yeah.
So we both arrived. We're staying at the Luxor, which is, if people don't know, the very farthest possible hotel to the convention center.
Yeah, it was
But very nice. We got tacos first thing in the morning. We go to the GP hall.
Yeah.
We get off the airplane and we both show up at the Command Zone event. So the Command Zone had this big convention. It literally was bigger than most non-GP Magic tournaments I've ever been to. Like I think SCG events are similar in size to how big this Command Zone event was. There were free, you know, there were a bunch of conspiracy drafts going on, a bunch of Commander stuff.
There was 500 people.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
They gave away cases and cases.
When we started playing Magic,
GPs, Commander,
a GP that got bigger than 500 people was an exciting GP.
Yeah, right. Totally. Wild.
Like GP San Diego was 700 people.
The one we went to a few years ago?
Yeah. The first one we both, like when we first like traveled to a GP together.
Yeah.
That was a 700 person GP.
Crazy.
When Eggs won it.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
So we get to the thing. You play your first Commander game. We say a bunch, you know, everyone's there. That was the one really cool thing. And like the one thing I was really excited to meet everyone we did, and I got to hang out with a bunch of people I wanted to hang out with, but there was so much to do here that like I didn't even get to maybe 70% of the people I wanted to see.
I keep getting tweets and texts from people telling me like, sorry, I missed you at GP Vegas. And I'm like, and I signed a handful of playmats, took some pictures, met a bunch of people. But like the number of people now that have sent me that and said, I was there, I'm sorry, I missed you. I'm just like, how? We were there in the convention hall for 2 days. Like, it was such a big event.
It was huge. It was massive. There was so much to do.
You think it was 10,000 people?
I don't know. I think they don't know yet either. I think they have a final count. That's what I've been saying. Because that's what GP Vegas 1 was. Yeah. This one's harder because there were three different events.
Definitely.
So it's, and then the events weren't the main focus. Like, there were a ton of people like us that were there just to hang out. There were a bunch of really cool, they did a bunch of panels. There was the really sweet, did you check out the Magic Art Show?
Yeah, I did.
That was really cool. They did a really great job.
I think my big takeaway from GP Vegas this year was that you and I both went into it knowing I had to recap the finale of American Gods for AfterBuzz TV on Sunday night, so I had to get back for that. So if I had made day two of the modern event, I wouldn't have been able to play in it. And my big takeaway from this event was that I am going to play in the modern event at the next one.
Sure, because you definitely had a lot more FOMO.
Well, I just felt like meeting people was fun, but usually it was for a minute or two at a time, or it was at night, and I would have been happier knowing that I had gotten the reps and been a part of the modern part of that event, because it's so much of what we focus on. I did play. I played in a 4-round side event, and I jammed some games. I played in a single limb thing, and I bought almost all of the cards for Superior Burning Coco, other than the Confidants and the Goyfs and a couple of the lands. But that deck is
which
I borrowed from you.
It's going to make me sad, though, because I can never play Jund in a GP we both go to ever again. But that's okay.
Eventually, I'll probably just buy all the cards I need.
Yeah. You're going to buy 4 Tarmogoyfs?
Eventually. Yeah, they're not that expensive anymore.
That's true.
Keep going
one
down.
More reprint, you'll be able to get them pretty easily.
They keep going down. And if I looked on eBay at this point,
I would put money that the next Modern Master set doesn't have Tarmogoyf in it.
Because they don't want to tank it too hard.
It's getting a little old hat. It's getting a little tired. It also depends, I think it'll have Lilia. I think it'll for sure have Snapcaster Mage again. But Snapcaster Mage and Goyf are kind of comparable best cards in Modern.
Yeah.
And which one goes in which set is going to be really interesting. I mean, the next two sets that are added to it are Theros and what follows
Cons.
Theros?
Cons? Follow Theros?
Theros and Cons, yeah.
Is that really true?
So there's a lot of good Cons cards that can be in there.
God, Theros and Cons are, but I guess it's 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have 2 years. Yeah. So 2 more sets. It'll feel like that makes sense when we get there.
Right.
Theros
just feels like such a recent crappy set. I don't like that book.
No, yeah. My problem with it is what Journey in the Nyx was what it should have been. And Theros is monsters and heroic. Monsters is fine. It's a cool mechanic. It's a totally fine mechanic.
Oh, monster fight, you mean?
Monstrous.
Monstrify.
Monstrous.
Oh, it's monstrous. Yeah. You're right.
Wow, so much victory there. Ben was wrong about how to say a word. Then I was right. Oh, man. Heroic is just that's the problem with that set, is it was supposed to be our first enchantment theme set, and it ended up being more of an aura theme set for most of it, and that's the worst part of enchantments. But we digress. Back to modern. So I also want to discuss a little bit of how much of a fail it was. It was and as a whole, it was really fine and we had a really good time. But there was just a continuous run of weird little misfires on Saturday. So, cause we wake up. So first off, after Friday, so Saturday, Thursday we fly and go to the command zone thing. Friday, we have a great day. We play in the modern event. We both go, 3-1. You play Superior Burning Coco. Yeah. I play my really sweet, I called it All the Spice Esper, or Esper Spice.
It's a sweet deck.
Because there's literally a bunch of I have two of Sensors. I have a bunch of different ways to mill Lingering Souls in the deck. It's a sweet deck. We'll post the list. We'll do a deck on our modern GPs probably soon.
Yeah.
And then, so that deck goes well, and then we go play craps, and this is Ben's first time. I teach Ben how to play craps, and we have, and it's, everyone's there, it's really fun, Jimmy and Josh, Melissa Del Toro, Corbin Hauser,
it's Melissa Del Toro and Corbin Hostler.
Sure.
They're people, we know them,
okay,
say
now
their
you're
names.
Just bringing it up and rubbing it in. you're just sad because I won earlier on Monstrous.
on Monstrous?
Yeah, and then these two guys, they're one's wearing a golf hat. They're the epitome of a 50-year-old guy in the middle of the country.
Yeah, right.
And they roll crazy hot. They're we all do really well. And it's kind of this weird middle ground because we want them to leave because we want, because we have people in our group that are waiting to join the table. But they're also making all of us a bunch of money. So they eventually lose out and we do really well. And then Melissa does a really good job and she wins us a bunch of money. And then and so at this point I'm up $300 and it's a run of Jimmy, Josh, me, and Ben, who's never rolled before. And I go deep on all of us and we lose all of our money.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. I mean, we were doing a lot of, we were having a lot of fun, but you know, Vegas did what Vegas does, which is the house always wins.
Yep.
And they give you alcohol to keep you drinking, and
which don't do. Yeah. Which is a prime example of why not to.
There was like moments in the our last 20 minutes was not our finest hour. It was like, ah, we're down. Just put all the money down. We'll catch back up. And then it was like, put $100 down on roulette. It was like, oh, God, that was a bad decision.
It was really fun. We had a great time. But then the next day we kind of wake up late because of all of these reasons. And we missed, like, we wanted to do the flashback time spiral block draft. Or no, it was one. Oh, it was the.
Yeah, it was time spiral.
No, it was stronghold, not stronghold.
For me, it was time spiral.
Well, that was day one, though, Thursday. The other one we missed on Friday or Saturday. This is the Saturday of misses. So we start off already kind of not feeling the best. We miss out on not stronghold block, but on
Odyssey block.
Odyssey block. Because I wanted to play some old school gravity shenanigans, graveyard shenanigans. And then Ben's like, all right, I'm going to play. I'm getting my deck back together. I'm going to play in the modern side event. And we like get the deck ready. He goes, buys a bunch of cards. He gets a new sideboard, Sweet Tech, which is the foil 3-white.
I tried to update it. I went and found a foil Devout Lightcaster for Death Shadow because it seemed like a sick card. I bought like a couple Lingering Souls because I didn't have them with me. I bought like a couple Mirroring Crusaders because I didn't have them with me. I like sleeve it all up, get there to sign up, and they're like, oh, we cut off 10 minutes before the event, and this is like 2 minutes before it starts. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, come on, I just bought all the cards. I'm here. Just let me sign up. They're like, sorry, pairings are already going up. I was like, the last one I was signed up for, and it started 20 minutes late. What are you talking about? Just let me, come on. And he's like, just can't do it, man. I'm sorry. I was so upset.
Yep.
It was like, yeah, it was, you know, you plan your day that way. And I hadn't played in the main event, so I like really wanted to get in some modern that day. Sucked.
So that happens. Then we go play Commander, and Ben has his great Commander game where he wins with Bray, and everything's great. And we check out the art show, and the art show is really amazing, and they did a really good job. And really, you know, the main conversation of the whole GP at this point was, this is what GP should be.
Definitely.
GP should be Magic conventions. The actual Grand Prix piece of this, of a big Magic tournament, should be almost the secondary focus from Wizards' perspective. And I've been bringing up this a while since GP Detroit, which was like, the event was theoretically bad in the sense that it was the main Eldrazi winter tournament, but because they had all these escape rooms going on,
right,
like I was able to get multiple friends to that one in Detroit that I was hanging out with that don't play Magic to go to a Magic GP and check it out and see what it's like, because they had cool stuff like the escape room. That's the kind of stuff that's going to get new players to play more than anything. And they did a lot of that. They had a bunch of panels. Like, that's what they've been doing for a while. They need Magic panels. They had a bunch of spoiler content going on. They had a huge artist section. They had the art show, which was really amazing. A blood drive was going on while it was there. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. And I think that's what these GPs need to be more. And I think that's why they gave it all to Channel Fireball. I think the point of them consolidating it now allows them to push one company to be consistent at doing a lot of cool stuff.
Well, we went to the VIP party that first night, and like it was the channel party, and it was a great party. They did a great job. Like, they definitely know what they're doing. They're handling their business really well, and it felt like a cool industry party. Like, it
totally.
It's fun. I like these events, and it's one of the big reasons I'm so excited to go to more of them.
And then we're like, okay, so we can either go to dinner or we can. You can try playing in the 7 o'clock 4 quad. It was $100 entry modern event.
By the way, we keep throwing around the term $100 like we have money. We don't. Just make it very clear to you guys. Losing $100 at craps was devastating. Alex was like talking about it for like the next like 3 days.
I basically didn't play in another modern. I didn't play in another event because I was like, well, that was the money I had to spend playing.
It's called being drunk in Vegas. Just heads up. Only drink responsibly if you're 21 or older.
Yep. Or don't even do that. Don't drink. So Mormons have it right. So then we're like, all right. And then Ben's like, you know what? I'm going to play in this event. This is what I want to do. And we missed it by 4 minutes.
We got like sidetracked in a conversation with like, I feel like we got sidetracked in a conversation with Gavin Verhey. And he was like, tell me about the deck you're playing. And I was like, well, I have to sign. Okay, here's the deck. And I was like, it's sweet. Mirror Superior. And he was like, this is a sweet deck. And it took 5 minutes. And that was the 5 minutes that I lost, that I was late. My pride got me.
Yeah. And so we missed that. And then we you know, then all a bunch of people we knew were going to this dinner. And it was like 20 minutes off the strip, which is not something we realized. So we get in a cab to go there. But it ends up that the restaurant just didn't have space for us.
Yeah, we didn't think it out all that well. And we like got there, and they were like, it's a 40-minute wait. And the whole thing was just like, ah, man, like, we didn't really think
it was, like, another, like, addition to, like, oh, another thing we just missed off by, like, 10 minutes.
And just, like, and, yeah, it was just one of those things where it was, like, had the whole day not gone the way that it had gone at that point, it wouldn't have been as much of a fail. But it was just such a fail. It was,
of, like,
just
the, like, fifth thing. And it's not even the last thing, because then they're like, all right, let's go get dinner. You know, like, we're having a bad day. You know, Spago, who has this one food that, like, so the restaurant Spago by Wolfgang Puck has this sushi cone thing that it's a sesame cone covered in honey glaze that's filled with spicy tuna and roe and ginger and all this other amazing things that is literally my favorite food on the planet. When we booked my wedding venue for my wedding, my first question to the caterer was, can you make this cone? Here is a picture of it. And they said yes, and then we booked them. Like, so we get to the restaurant. It's called Spago. It's at Caesar's Palace. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to drown all of my missed opportunity sorrows in these cones. And because it's the Spago menu changes daily, so it's not always the same. But I asked, do you have the cones? And they're like, you know what? I think we can pull this off for you. I was like, great. Can we have 5 orders of it? So we like 2 for the table and then 1 for my personal dinner. And then he comes back like 10 minutes later and is like, you know what? We're sorry. We don't have any of the cones. We only have the material. So additional failure. And then, so we eat, great dinner. I mean, everything else in the meal was wonderful. Spago is a really good restaurant. It's very expensive, but like had a great, you know, steak was amazing. Everything was good. Other than the fact that they didn't have these cones. And then we go to Ruben Bressler's house. So you're just done. You're like, my life is brutalized. I'm going to go to bed.
I like had at that point, the whole weekend had been such like a, just like a mass amount of like eating heavy foods and drinking. And I think I slightly overate at dinner.
Yep.
And it was 109 degrees in Vegas.
Yep.
And I was like, we're down here at Caesars. It's less than a mile to Luxor. I have my bag. I'm in a suit. I'll just walk. Like, I'll walk off some of this food. It'll be great. I like start walking down the strip and I'm like, this is fine. I can do this. I was drenched by the time I got back to Luxor. Literally, like,
you decided to walk from the Luxor.
Or, yeah.
From Caesar's Palace to the Luxor, which has the Aria in the way, Excalibur in the way.
Yeah, you have to go through
New York,
some hotels.
New York is on the way. The Bellagio is on the way. There's like 6, and like 4 of those hotels at the time that they were built were the biggest possible casino in Vegas at one point.
Like, I was like drenched. And I was so drenched, in fact, and so like overeaten that I was physically ill. I got up to the room and I like laid down and I was like rolling around. I like took some Tums. I was like, please let me go to sleep. This is awful. It was really uncomfortable.
So while Ben's going through that experience, me and Vinny, who is one of the, like, he's regularly featured on game nights with the Command Zone, decide like, you know what? We're going to go to Ruben Bressler's house. They're playing Werewolf. We're going to meet up with Jimmy and Gavin and it's going to be great. So we like, Vegas, for some reason, has established that all Uber and Lyft have to go through their rideshare meetup points that are like in the worst. It was basically the taxi lobby has made it really, really painful to take an Uber anywhere. So they're in the worst possible situation. So we like cross 2 hotels to get there. So we're like now 30 minutes late getting to Ruben's place, who's at Mox Ruby on Twitter. And he's been on the cast a couple times.
Yep.
And we get there and we miss the beginning of it by 10 minutes. And so for those who don't know how Werewolf works, it's like, and Ruben specifically gets like 30 to 40 people games of Werewolf going on. And so you have an entire group of people and every round someone dies and there's a nighttime and a daytime and it goes on. It's a game I play a lot, but it's like the more people you have, the longer the game lasts. And so like this game was probably a 2 to 3 hour long game and we get there 10 minutes after it started and couldn't join. So we start watching. It's hilarious. I mean, like, and they're really cutthroat because it's a bunch of Magic players versus poker players and they're all like trying to vie to see who has the right read. And one guy goes in this long rant of how we have to kill all the new people because they all don't know what they're doing and a weak villager is a dead villager. But then one other guy's like, guys, this isn't the World Series of Werewolf. We don't, you know, we're here to have a good time. Let's not start hunting people down. Literally, Ben Stark gets murdered within 3 minutes of me being there. And so we're sitting there and then Jimmy and Josh show up, or not Jimmy and Josh, Jimmy and Gavin show up about 20 minutes later, and the Commander's Brew guys are there as well, and all of us aren't playing. We're just laughing at what's going on because it's the most cutthroat thing I've ever seen. And then they're like, all right, we're going to consolidate and put everyone together. And then I like pick a chair up and I like walk across the room without thinking about it. And I completely like slam the chair into a spinning ceiling fan. And everyone like freaks out because they think I break a light. I didn't. It's fine. But I became the center of attention for a second. We go sit and we're like, oh, we have like 2 more hours until this. And so once again, missing out by 10 minutes on another thing. So we're like, let's just go. And we ghost out. By the way, Ruben has the coolest bathroom on the planet. It is 100% Star Wars merchandise. And
really?
It's fantastic. There's a picture on my Instagram. You should all check it out. But long story short, we go play Commander, where like the chess tournament that was happening all weekend in the hotel next to the convention center was. It's sweet. I give Jimmy Geist. He like rocks with it. And yeah, that's the GP Vegas. And the next day I like have to leave.
Yeah. Yep. It was like the tournament was awesome. They did a great job.
Yeah.
The convention was awesome. The good parts were super great. I mentioned earlier this, taking a couple pictures and signing a couple playmats. I signed a spell skite. You signed a spell skite.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I should just reiterate quickly, once again, like the comment, that is not something that is like common or taken for granted. It is literally probably one of the most flattering things that's ever happened in my entire
crazy.
Adult
I
life.
I still don't know how to react to it because I don't know, like...
Yeah.
And the one thing that's really interesting, and like I got a little bit of it at this event, is, and this is the thing that's most often said to us, and we appreciate this a great deal, is, you know, a lot of you guys feel like you're, you know, when you're listening to the podcast, and that's what podcasting is hanging out with the people playing. So there's a lot of like weird, like, oh, you're hanging out with us, and we don't, you know, we're it's like, oh, I'm like hanging out with the friends that I hang out with all the time, but we don't know where to start the conversation. And that's because we're awkward. Like we appreciate so much anytime someone comes up to us to say hi.
Yeah.
And we love to have conversations. We love the jam game. So anytime you see us, the other thing we realized at this event was we need to do more video content.
No one knows what we look like.
Yeah. You're a little better off. And like just the fact that you have more video content with your face out there than me, like, was extremely noticeable because just sitting next to you, people like, oh, yeah, hey, Ben, want to sign something? And then I would, like, try and speak a little bit. So people like, oh, it's Alex, too. Because no one knows what I look like. It was depressing.
It's probably, like, the most exciting thing for us in the world to get.
Totally.
Recognized and approached by anybody, like, especially because it's for Magic. That's, like, it's just so exciting. I love it. And it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, if you ever see this in an event, please encourage you. You don't need to ask me to sign something to say hello. That's like the rare occurrence. Somebody actually wants that.
Yeah, please. I'd rather you come up to me and challenge me to Modern. I'll sign things. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to do it. But I want to hang out with people. It's really sweet.
Yeah. I signed a hat once. It made me realize I'll never be a professional athlete.
But last but not least, or not the finish off with, we started with your terrible trip. So then I go from Vegas to L.A. for Father's Day, where I then like relax and like try and like digest all of the happenings of Vegas by laying in a pool, my parents' pool, on a giant rubber ducky for 3 hours straight. My hands literally, like, you know how your fingers can prune up?
Yeah.
My palms pruned up, which was a new experience for me.
Sick.
And then next day, I have a flight to New Jersey for a meeting. So I go to Phoenix and my flight's just canceled.
Straight up.
Flight's gone. So then I go to the lady and she's like, well, we have a red eye and we have this 3 o'clock that's completely overbooked, but because you have status, you would be number one in the standby list. And I was like, okay. So, and it's like on the other side of the airport, and it's like I have 10 minutes to get there, or like 2 minutes to get there, but fine. All right. Put me on that. Book my ticket on the midnight flight. And we have these giant boxes of samples because we make a bunch of toys that we have to send and we have to have them in our meeting. So that's checked. And so I run to the meeting. But the point is that my flight was to Newark. I'm now flying to Philly because Newark just shut down. And I knew from staying in New Jersey a bunch that Philly is a drivable distance to Newark, because my worst travel experience was a Philly to New, like, I had a layaway from Philly to Newark flight, and I like realized halfway through I could just drive it.
Right.
But all the rental cars were rented out at that point. But this time it's not. So I get to Philly, which you're flying to. At this point, Ben is actually staying in Philly that night because he has a meeting in Philly.
I already have my hotel booked. And my flight, by the way, is delayed by 3 hours. So I get in at like 2:40, 2:30, 2:40 to my hotel room. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited I can sleep for a few hours because this week has been a disaster because I have a meeting in the morning. And Alex is like, nope, I'm sharing your room. And all the work I have to do on the phone loudly, I'm going to do right now.
Wait, you're spoilers. All right, so I get to the airport. I get to the thing, and I'm the last person on the plane. I get the seat, but my box is checked on the midnight flight. So my plan originally was to land and this drive to Newark, where I had a hotel. But because my box doesn't get in until 6:30 in the morning the next morning, and my meeting is at 10 in the morning, I have to find a place to stay in Philly. Thank God Ben is there, and through the kindness of his heart, allows me to stay there. I stop by a Wawa, get a meatball sub and a pepperoni pizza sub, wait in the lobby for Ben to get there. Ben gets there, and then I have to do like 12 things because I am running this company and I have to talk to Hong Kong every night. Also, so I go through that process, murdering Ben's sleep, and then have to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to the airport, which is 30 minutes away, to then get my bag at 6 in the morning, or by box, my giant box. And then I have this giant box that and I'd like at one point try Ubering, and then I call an Uber and the Uber shows up and the box doesn't fit in the car. And I'm like, Sick. You know what? I'm just going to get the rental car. So I get to the rental car and I literally like make it to the meeting with 2 minutes to spare.
Yep.
2 hours away. So I drive from Philly to Newark. No problem. Make it. Have one of the best meetings of my life, and it's rocking. And that's the end of the trip. And then I, from there, go to another meeting in Newark, in New Jersey, and then fly to Cleveland, and then fly back here, where I got back last night at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then we recorded our spoiler episode on Anchor, released it, and then we did this morning. That's the last week of my life.
My quick add-on, we are going to talk about the modern decks. We're going to review them in just a moment, but my last thing I'm going to do is that I had to cover The Mummy yesterday on the show on Action Movie Anatomy, the Tom Cruise Mummy.
Know what my recommendation for everyone wanting to see that movie is? See 1999's Brendan Fraser's The Mummy instead.
So it was an interesting episode. We love Cruise, and it was definitely interesting to have to like say negative things because it is the not just necessarily the worst Tom Cruise movie. It's the worst Tom Cruise movie in the modern era since Top Gun, since 86. Like since those really early ones, definitely it's the worst.
It's the worst one he's done as a superstar.
Yes, but more than that, it's the worst Tom Cruise role in a movie combined with a bad movie. It's like an irrelevant character that should not have been played by Tom Cruise, and it's like very hard to even understand why it happened. But the point is, to watch this movie, the only time I was going to have to watch this movie was in Philly after my meeting before flying back to LA. So I had to go find a matinee that was available. And I guess it's summer vacation and I'm old because the theater was filled with children, and children like in their teens, like high school kids,
yeah.
Middle school to high school, who apparently the thing to do is buy a ticket to a movie, get up and walk in and out of the theater 4 times during the movie. One kid behind me had the thing where he had headphones around his neck and the music blaring as loud as he could so he could like hear it without having it on his ears during the movie. I'm talking like
that sounds awful.
A full-on like high school gym is what it sounded like every time. It was... I was terrorized.
Philly, a bunch of savages.
I felt so old.
I mean, you don't remember doing that in like because this week was their first week off.
I remember seeing like, movies, but I didn't go with a group.
I saw The Day After Tomorrow 4 times because it was the only movie that came out that week. The week after we got off, and was like, all right, last day of school, let's go to the thing. And we're like, all right, let's see Day After Tomorrow. And then I also saw it like the midnight showing because that's what I did in high school. And so I saw the movie 4 times because all you did when you're like 15. To 17 is just see movies
and ruin my experience and watching them.
Well, that's I mean, I was more I am a clapper. I will cheer for.
Hey, you cheer all you want. This movie wasn't worth cheering for.
True. That's the other problem is you were like seeing it awful. I guess this is like I saw Dumb and Dumber theaters right in that same period, and it was bad, and I did not care.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a terrible experience, but that was that. So I got
don't see The Mummy.
Yeah, but go
just go see. Wonder Woman again. Keep giving money to that movie.
Baby Driver. There's lots of good movies coming out. Anyway, let's recap quickly the GP who won the event and the decks.
Oh yeah, we didn't even go over that. So the deck that won is Affinity, which makes it the deck other than Birthing Pod, who was banned. It is the deck that has won the most GPs of all time. Now part of that is the other decks that have one or multiple wins in the threes have cards banned. It's the only deck that has more than three or more wins that doesn't have a card banned out of it. Jund is one of them. Banned card. Birthing Pod, Affinity. Like, in fact, these are decks that have won multiple GPs. Jund, but they've had cards banned. And since those cards have been banned, they haven't won one. So Affinity is this one weird outlier. And part of the reason is it's really easy to hate out. Affinity isn't hurting the format in any way. So it kind of has survived. And part of it is also just time. It is always a tier 1.5 deck.
Right.
Even when hate is in the field, it's a tier 1.5 deck. And so if no cards are banned from it, it's just going to keep winning a GP once or every year and a half. So it'll always just probably end up being the deck that has the most GPs ever because it's not a, not going to get Mox Opal banned. Like, Mox Opal is the card to ban, and it's more likely that gets banned because of decks like
Lantern Control
or the Crack Iron
Clark Clan Ironworks.
Yeah, thank you.
The
I'm never going to say that
Infinite
card.
Mana deck.
Yeah, that deck. Like, there's other decks that are going to take advantage of Mox Opal that are going to break it, because that card is on a list of cards that probably isn't necessary. But Affinity itself isn't going to be the reason that that happens. And like you can see here, three of the decks that were in the top eight were Affinity. Am I right there? Yeah, three of the decks.
Three of the top four decks, I believe.
Three
Affinity,
of the top four.
Unless I'm mistaken, Affinity beat Mono White Hate Bears in the finals,
yep.
And the third place and the fourth place decks were both Affinity.
Yep, which Hate Bears was in the finals of both this and the Legacy GP.
Yeah.
The one thing I really wanted was one player to top eight both, which I know is like so statistically difficult. I'm glad one archetype got both. My like absolute dream was one player playing the same archetype in both GPs was going to top
eight
in both.
Legacy and Modern?
Legacy and Modern.
There was a limited GP between the two, but like analyzing limited information is not usually as relevant.
Totally.
But it is if you care. We just don't care.
That didn't happen. But we got Hate Bears in both, which is cool.
Well, kind of. You got, I mean, Death and Taxes is effectively a Hate Bears deck. It's just like a little
They're really comparable.
Yeah, it's a wonkier
strategies.
Hate Bears deck.
Yeah. But the format looks really healthy. I mean, like, Affinity, this is a weekend that Affinity is weak. Next week, everyone's going to be popping, you know, making sure they have Graveyard 8. And so then Affinity is going to do worse. And probably Dredge is going to do better. Because I think when Dredge does well, Affinity...
You mean Artifact 8 instead of Graveyard 8. You said everybody's going to have Graveyard 8.
Yeah, sorry. They're not going to have Graveyard 8. They're going to have Artifact 8. And that Graveyard 8 lacking will make it so that Counter Company and Dredge do better. Like, I think you have a world where... it's a pendulum that swings between the two of them. So it's really about reading, is Dredge or Affinity better this weekend? How well did it do last weekend? And if the other one did well last weekend, then I should play the other one.
Yeah, it's kind of how it works. I mean, I think Affinity is a tremendously fair deck in Modern, which is one of the reasons I've never advocated for it to be banned. Affinity is very fast, and you're prone to lose game one if they're on the play and you don't know what you're playing against. On the other hand, it's not very hard to hate out. And there's a lot of very, very good cards that are playable in Tier 1 strategies that can answer Affinity decks. So something like this, to me, is just the field was not prepared for Affinity. Good players were playing it, and that's how it broke down.
Sure.
But this doesn't, to me, I've never felt like Affinity was a deck that needed cards banned.
No, I don't think it does. But it's more the point that it's interesting how well this deck consistently does and doesn't have cards banned compared to every other deck that has done this well. Splinter Twin is another one that like has 1-3 but got cards banned out of it. Affinity is in this weird space. Merfolk is the only one that's also close. Merfolk, I think, has 3 GP wins, or maybe 2. And that's another one that probably won't have a card ban because both of them are easily hate outable.
Yeah, they're very
play Supreme Verdict.
They're very linear as far as what they're doing.
But the last thing before we kind of end the episode is I want to say the top 10 cards in the top 32 because I always think this is really interesting. Number 1 was Thoughtseize.
Yep.
Number 2 was Path to Exile. Number 3 was Fatal Push.
Yep.
Which is becoming one of the best cards in the format. Number 4 Snapcaster Mage. Number 5, Serum Visions. Number 6, Collective Brutality, which is why I think Burn is a bad choice in general right now. Collective Brutality is really hard for Burn to beat.
And that card's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's a rare and standard,
yep.
And it was sold out.
It's a $56 foil right now.
Yeah, it was sold out at $14 at all the vendors.
But you know what's a crazy card that's really expensive?
Hmm.
A foil Lorwyn Thoughtseize is like $600.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Collective Brutality 7, Relic of Progenitus, which is kind of my point, is like that's why Dredge did bad and that's why Affinity did well.
Yeah.
And then 8 was Stubborn Denial, which is a big new, that's a new up and coming card. I think that's a really important card to keep an eye out on.
It's just that card is very, 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 very popular
yep.
in the Grixis Death Shadow decks.
Yes, totally. And then last, Single Pest and Arcbound Ravager, which is really more signifying that Affinity did really well in the top 32, because this is only the top 32 decks.
Yep.
But when you look at it, obviously, you know, it looks like black might be becoming the best card in color in Modern. So
yeah.
Forever, I would argue that green was the best color. I think with Fatal Push, black has become the best color in Modern pretty handedly. If you look at the cards here, 3 of them, Thoughtseize, Fatal Push, and Collective Brutality, were black.
Yeah. Yeah, Brutality's awesome. I was like brewing with a 4 of Collective Brutality deck after this event, just being like, well, what's the best thing I can do to kill Grixis Death Shadow?
And
I was
it's discarding our spoiler card and Lingering Souls in Mardu, I guess.
Yeah.
Same. I'm down to try out Mardu again. The problem with that is you need to play with creatures. Like my classic Mardu build had a lot of planeswalkers and a lot of token generation, but I think you could maybe curtail that into a much more creature-heavy deck.
Yeah.
So let's do that maybe another episode. And that's it for the episode, guys. We'll do a little bit more of a thorough breakdown of the GP or the GPs in next week's episode. We'll also kind of maybe talk about the two decks that we played this last week at the GP, because I think we both had pretty spicy brews that are really sick.
And yeah,
you guys will appreciate
some,
it.
In Coco, you guys heard me talk about it before, but I added some new cards. And the one thing I will say is that Ronus is a card. That card's good.
That card's really good.
Surprised me how good that was. It won me game after game.
Yep.
Shocked.
So, yeah, we'll do some... You know, some brews, maybe something else, maybe some tweaks on established decks. And yeah, we thank you guys for listening. Once again, thanks for everyone who saw us at the GP. Thanks for everyone hanging out. Big shout out to everybody. Big shout out to Wizards for making that happen. Big shout out to Wizards for giving us our fifth,
something
sixth,
like that.
Seventh.
Amazing.
I don't want to count because Path and Inquisition because like make it hard to count right now because we don't have time. But thank you so much. This card is awesome. I'm really excited to play with this card.
Yeah.
Claim awesome. To fame. It's kind of like it's a claim. I don't know. There's a pun here that I don't want to make. I'm too lazy. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Follow us on Twitter at the MMCast, at Kes Wiley, at Ben Bateman Media. Check out collected.company, our website that we share with the Command Zone. They do awesome Commander content and stuff like Game Nights, which is a YouTube show. Cassius is on that.
Cassius Clay.
I was saying that. Yeah, no, it's not that. But thanks, guys. We appreciate you. Love you all.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.